Thank you, Kelsey. Thank you, Glenn, Tyler, and Sue. That was awesome worship this morning. I loved it. Tend to love the worship here. I tend to love worship. I tend to love the one we're worshiping. And I tend to love doing it with you. So that's all good. Good morning, everyone. It feels like we've kind of been, is this our first gathering of the new year? First Sunday, huh? Yeah. How's everybody's new year going so far? It's been a great year, right? So anybody want to tell me how their new year's doing? Birgit, how's your new year going so far? Well, yeah? That was a great men's group yesterday, right? Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, it was a good turnout. Holy Spirit was there. Rosh, how's your new year going? Yeah? Oh, man, who am I going to ask next? Yeah. Ryan, how's your new year going? Is it good? All right. Chad, what about you?
Doing well.
All right. Austin? Yeah. Mom and Dad are down in Florida. I know. Come on. Left you with the house taking care of that, right? Well, you got your own house and another house, and you got about 13 of them, don't you, between you and your dad? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Kelsey, how's your new year?
Fine.
She's like, fine. I don't know. I just haven't seen, we haven't gathered. I'll tell you what, we had last Sunday, and that was New Year's Eve, and then we didn't do anything after that. And so this is our first gathering. Okay, I just had to get recalibrated. How's your New Year going, Ashley? Yeah? Angel was twirling you around today. That was kind of interesting. It's like, that was cool. Oh, hey, Dean, sorry, did you guys stay in after church today? You going to do that? Okay, good, cool. All right. Anybody else got anything? What I wanted to do is just kind of talk a little bit about the day of dedication that we structured as a 24-hour time of coming together to pray to God and see if we can hear, what God is saying to us. And the turnout was minimal, I would say. A dozen people Friday night and, maybe a little more than a dozen last night. We had a wonderful worship team come up from, some of them drove a couple hours to be here, and Andrew coordinated that, and it was really, really awesome worship. Wasn't it great? It was great. Yeah. They're sweet people, and it was good to hear that. Again, pretty minimal. So I guess what I want to know, not right now, but you don't have to say it out loud or anything, but I want to hear from you, like what would be the reasons why we didn't come on either of those nights? This isn't like, okay, George, why didn't you come? It's like I want to know so that when we plan things in the future, we have an idea of what will work and what won't. So, for example, Kristen said she last night, she said, well, the combination of snow showing up, nighttime driving, which a lot of our people don't want to do and don't do, and childcare, and the fact that we didn't have childcare, those things can all combine to, eliminate 90% of the congregation, right? Eyesight at night. Oh, you watched it online. Yeah, there was about 20 people watching online, I think. So, which would be more people than that, just 20 viewer, 20 views, and there might have been more people. So what we want to, I want to make sure that we're doing, the things right for us as a congregation, as a community, so that we're doing them in a way that maximizes people's involvement. I know people don't drive at night. I know that. I already know there's a whole list of people that aren't going to be able to participate. I know that, putting the kids to bed by 8 o'clock is a big deal, and sometimes it takes more than two people to pull that off, and all of that sort of thing. And so it's like, we understand that. I understand that. But just let me know. Just say, maybe childcare was a big deal. Like, right, there's no childcare, and so that eliminated a lot of people. If that's the case, then we want to make sure that we plan for that, in the future. Or maybe evenings don't work, and we need to think of doing things, on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon or a time that, is more conducive to people being able to connect and be a part of that. And that then brings into mind the unity service that we're doing at the end of January with the other four churches. I really want to encourage you to be there, but I'm feeling like, okay, we may not, because there isn't childcare. There's a room at the Pentecostals of Peoria Church where parents can take their kids, but at this point, there is no childcare. If that's going to be a big hindrance to Bradley Epworth participating, because we do have a lot of families, we have a lot of kids, and that could be a real, game changer for us going forward as a community of Jesus, that it's like we're always going to have to take care of that. So let me know, okay? Contact at Bradley Epworth or text me, 309-635-3423. Just text that. You guys got it? Well, put it up on the board, Kristen, or put my phone number up there. Text me. Let me know. Say, hey, yeah, no childcare. Took me out. Driving at night. Took me out. Right? Or sickness. There's sickness going on. Like, I was sick, or I don't want to be around sick people. Like you, Pastor Tom. but just let us know so that as a community we can continue to not just guess, right? Not just guess at what we're doing, but we're small enough, you guys, that we can do this. We can get the information, we can make changes, we can rearrange, we can adapt, okay, to whatever we need to make the involvement as much as possible. And men's group was really cool. That was Saturday morning, though. But that was at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. We had, there's at least 20 guys. I counted 20. The Lord was really, really present. our Friday night, our Saturday night was really awesome. It was not like God said, well, there's only 13 people, so, when you guys get a little few more, I'll show up. I got to make it worth my time. I got to travel all that way, and it's like, it's like, it was snowing, so that always hinders the spiritual vibe. And it's like, no, he's not doing that. He's like, oh, there's three? There I am. Two or three. I'm there. And he was there. He was there, and it was good, and it was awesome. I'm going to go through a little review of the things, because I want us all to get this. And hello, everybody on the live stream that's watching today. We want you to get this and all of us to get this so that we have a sense as a community. That what happened? Did God say something? Did God speak to us? Did God bless? I know God blessed us. We all know that because he blesses the prayers of the intercessors. And he says, yeah, I'll react to that. I'll move on that. And so he's blessing our church even already. And so I want to share a little bit about that. I promised you that I would last week give you the tips of where to make your investments in 2024. You all know that I'm a financial wizard, right? Not at all. But I do want to say something about that before we leave here today. So that's what I've got in mind. We got communion still coming up. So let's look at a little review and let's see what God was doing. Because, if we put all the pieces together, some of them seem unconnected, but like the dots on the paper, I don't see a picture there until I start connecting one to two and two to three. And then it's like, oh, it's a unicorn. Okay. And so that's what we want to do here and put those dots together for you and everybody on the live stream. And so we can be praying into these things, okay, as a community. And then we're going to look at a little bit of what Jesus was talking about in terms of where to make our investments. And that's it. And then next week we're going to launch into the Sermon on the Mount after the Beatitudes, where Jesus begins teaching that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and find out what those things mean. All right, Jesus, be with us now. Thank you for this this time that we get to re-look at what you were doing, how the Spirit was moving amongst us on the nights that we got together in the men's group, and some other insights that we've had. And we just ask you, Lord, to shape us and form us today as a community, that all of us will hear what you're saying and all of us will be able to affirm that in our hearts and be able to pray into that so that you will get what you want out of Bradley Epworth for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, you know what? We started off on both nights with remembering what had happened in the past with our days of dedication. And that's a time, you know, that we always set aside because we want to dedicate the year to come to Jesus and his purposes. We want to hear if there's a word that he has. If he says, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, that's fine. But that's an important word, isn't it? Right? Just keep doing what you're doing. It's really important because it's like, okay, yeah, you guys are getting it. You're hitting it. Keep going. Several years ago, we received the word, open the doors. It was like, oh, open the doors, right? Yeah, open the doors. And it was Jesus knocking at the door and saying, I want to come in. Like in the book of Revelation, I want to come in and I want to show you what I have affirmed, what I affirm in you. But I also want to show you what I see that's off. And that was a kind of a weird thing, right? The churches don't usually do that. And I was like, as a pastor, I was like, do we really want to do that? Well, how could anything be off? Aren't we the ones that are doing it right? And it's like, well, no, you know, because we all see through a glass dimly, according to scriptures. And so, yeah, there are going to be things that we don't hit right. And there are going to be things that any community that it gathers is going to be strong in. And there are going to be places where they're weak. And the Lord wants to show you that, right? And so we did that, and that was a powerful time and a shifting, transitioning time for us, but it was a pivotal time for us as a church, and I think we're still living out the implications of what the Lord revealed to us. And then a couple of years ago, we heard the word, I'm going to do something new. Behold, I'm doing something new. Do you not perceive it? Can't you guys see it? I'm doing something new, and there's going to be streams in the desert. And there's going to be life popping up and all those seeds that have been dormant for who knows how long. Seeds in the desert can be dormant for. And then the next year after that, it was like the something new hasn't come to completion yet. Keep going. Like, keep going. Hold on to that. Hold on to that vision. Keep that vision going. And in the course of that year, then, the second year, we disaffiliated from our denomination and that has been a transition and a something new. It's a huge something new. And we're still living out the implications of that. We're still, you know, trying to figure out, you know, how does that work? Who are we? What are we doing? And other than holding on to, through all of this, which is really amazing, the identifier that we grabbed hold of more than 20 years ago, that our byline to Bradley Epworth Church has always been Bible-based, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled. That has been a foundation, almost like a tripod upon which, you know, the church rests. And it's like these are the three legs of the tripod that hold us up and keep us going. And it's been awesome. It's been beautiful to see that was something that the Lord revealed to us and has kept us to through all the years. Now, when we come together this year, as we look at this, and one of the things that stood out, this is really kind of cool, is this banner over here. This one right here from John 4:10 and John 7:38, and it says "Rivers of Living Water." But it goes with that banner over there, and so we don't want Roberta to jump up and say, "Hey, but what about the other one?" You know. And this is from Revelation, which she wouldn't do, but from Revelation 22, 1 through 2, from the throne of God. Rivers of living water. And so that just really came up. And one of the very first things on Friday night was Melissa having this picture of all of us who were present walking into water. Before we said anything or the Lord did anything, Melissa was like over there. She sat down over there under that banner, actually. And she just said, I have a picture of the people who are here walking into a water that wasn't very deep. It was just a stream of water. And the water began to grow deeper as they walked in it. And the water gained strength in its current. And the current pushed us all together. All right, and the current gained strength. It pushed all of us into a straight line. We began moving down the current in a straight line. It was a picture of one heart and one mind. It was also a directive, get in the flow. Okay,
So now, so there's something to that, right? So we've got the two banners. We've got Melissa getting a picture right away, and here's what just came forth, and that was the question that Jesus asked to the people on the last day of the festival in the Gospel according to John: Is anybody thirsty? Oh, you don't have to apologize for little Esme. She can. Well, I don't know if she can stay, but because, you know, you guys might not be able to hear anything. And as parents, you know, it's like, ah. Bless you, Laura. Bless you, Esme. Bless you, Tyler. Thanks for playing the piano for us today. That was awesome. Wasn't that great? Yeah, just that's part of the, you know, yeah. It's part of the community just using its gifts to bring glory to God. So, this question that Jesus asked to a crowd of people, is anyone thirsty? He already knew the answer to. He knew that everyone is thirsty. And I think the thing that I most felt about that was that Jesus was saying, Tom, everyone's thirsty. The world is thirsty. Because there is a thirst that is inherent in every human soul that cannot be met, cannot be slaked, except by me. There is a living water that we are thirsty for. And he was saying, Tom, you still are thirsty for that. You still thirst for that water, right? Everybody in your church is still thirsty for that water. It starts there with acknowledging as a community of Christians, we're thirsty, God. This world is hard and there's stuff that happens, and for all of us who face difficulties, we are thirsty for the very thing that you asked, or that you asked the crowd on that day. Are you thirsty? Yes, of course you are, Pharisees. You Pharisees are really thirsty. You Sadducees are really thirsty. You who are poor in spirit, you who are grieving, you who are meek, you're thirsty. You're thirsty for righteousness, aren't you? That's part of the Beatitudes, right? And he was asking, and he just, I felt like if I could hear the Lord and know that it was his voice, I was feeling him saying, Tom, atheists are so thirsty. Atheists are so thirsty. The people who reject me, they're so thirsty. New Age people, they're so thirsty. They're grabbing crystals and you know, all sorts of things to try to slake their thirst. It's like will this do it? Drug addicts are so thirsty. Broken people are so thirsty, and it's like, and there's something for all of them. There's something for everyone. And it's me. And until it's me, they will all die of thirst, unless it's me. But my spirit in you, the Holy Spirit, is like these rivers of water flowing up within. And when Melissa's picture, you know, of us all getting in a current and it getting deeper and all walking together in unity just gave me a picture of a river flowing through here. And just flowing through the church and all of us being in it and feeling that power of the living waters that are unlike anything else. And someone had 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Hallelujah, right? Come on. Let's lean into that, and I really I feel like as I look through all these things, I feel like there's a piece of this that is all about us, because we are Bradley Epworth and we lifted our hearts up to God and we said, tell us what we need to be, who we are, you know, right? Help us, Lord. But it's also connected to what we're doing at the end of January. That's why I want to encourage everyone to, you know, if you, you know, like maybe you need to find a babysitter, or maybe you need to tell us we need childcare and we'll set something up. Maybe we can have some people in one of the rooms in the church. I don't know what we can do, but if whatever we need to do to pull all the people together. I had somebody say it to me last night. Hey, I could probably do something with some kids if I knew, you know, who they were and if they're coming, you know, in one of those evenings. Anyway, it all has to do with, you know, joining with others to release more of the water, to release more of the water that and somebody said to me, they said, I would, you know, praying last night, they said, I got this sense of there's so much thirst a block away from here, where we got 3,000 18 to 22-year-olds who just left home, right? And they're all gathered together in this campus of other 18 to 22-year-olds, and they're all wondering, what is it? What's life? What's real? What's true? I don't know, but I sure feel thirsty, right? Some of these things really hit me, and I feel an emotional thing come up, you know, and it's weird when it happens, but it's like there's just certain times when that does that, and I know that may not like it. It's like, what's wrong with him now? And someone read out, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. And I would put in that poor, I would put in that, you know, I'm not entering into scripture, but I would say that would include the term the thirsty. There's good news for the thirsty. We have good news for the thirsty, you guys. We should not, and someone else prayed last night and said, fearless. We should be fearless. We should be confident. Why should we be confident? Because we actually have the very thing that the world is longing for. We actually have good news. We actually have a way of being able to introduce someone to something that feels like in their soul, it's like, oh my gosh, this is like an oasis in the desert. This truth feeds me, fills me, slakes the thirst. I remember talking to a Russian pastor who was here in the United States. I was down at First Methodist Church. I think we were doing like an Emmaus weekend or something like that, a weekend retreat. And he was part of it, and he was talking to me, and he said, when I was young, I grew up learning that the Bible was full of myths and fairy tales, and it was for old women and children. And that it was propaganda, and you should not ever be caught with one. And one day he said, a friend of mine called me up on the phone and said, hey, I have a Bible in my apartment. I'm like, shh, don't tell anyone. I have a Bible. It's a Bible in my apartment. And you want to come over and check it out? It's like this contraband, you know? And it's like, so he went over to the apartment. And he checked, and he said, I started reading about Jesus and what he taught. And he said, as I read the words in the Gospels about Jesus and what he taught, he said, I immediately felt like, this is what I've been looking for. This is, and he said, I found myself in that word. This is it. This is truth. And it was like a glass of water on a thirsty soul. And it just poured. He would hit, you know, right? All of his life he'd been thirsty, and he couldn't ever find what it was. And he started reading the words of Jesus, and he said, this is it. This is what I've been looking for. This is me. I found myself in that Bible. And then, of course, that was prior to the wall falling, the Berlin Wall, and the changes that took place in Russia. That was all prior to that. And then when that happened, then there was an openness that he could then, become a pastor, and he was here with us. He invited me to come over to his church and preach, and I didn't take him up on that, but I wish I had. But because his thing was, he said, Pastor Tom, he said, there are so many thirsty people there in Russia. Did I ever tell you guys about the couple that saw the cars at the middle school? And there's a bunch of cars. They thought it was a flea market.
So they pulled in, and they went in to sit in there. Did I tell you about that? Oh, was it in men's ministry? Okay. And they pulled in, and they said, well, you know, this must be a nice flea market. The whole parking lot's full. And they went, and they sat down in the seats, and it was a church service. The Vineyard Church was meeting in a middle school, and they were just getting ready, you know, to do their worship. And they sat there, and they sat through the worship and through the talk. And they went up to the guy afterwards, and they said, what is this? Because they were crying. And they said, we felt something here that we've never felt before. They got a drink of water, right? So they were Jewish, and they gave their lives to Jesus because they felt the power of the presence in the service. They felt they drank some of the living water, and they said, "We have to have more of this. This is the real deal." So we have good news, and we shouldn't be fearful. We should be confident that that is what the world is looking for. We just have to know how to present it. We have to know, because we have to have it first. We have to be drinking the water. We have to be flowing in the water, walking together. We have to be walking together with other churches to release the living water on the earth. And watch, I'm doing a new thing. I'm releasing streams in the desert. That ties us back to the word of a couple years ago. I'm releasing streams in the desert. I'm doing something new. It didn't stop with disaffiliation. Maybe it started, but somehow God is saying, I am bringing life where there was no life, and it's coming through the streams being released in the desert, and it's living water, and we all got to get in it, and we all got to walk in it. And the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor and the thirsty. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Yes, Lord, those living water heals broken hearts. To proclaim freedom for the captives, release from the darkness for the prisoners. Set the prisoners free. There are people who are bound. There are people who are in chains. There are people who have yokes on them. And it's stuff that the enemy, there is a real enemy. There is a real demonic presence in this world. The spiritual realm is filled with all kinds of spirits. People can tap into those spirits. And we hear about people tapping into those spirits, like clairvoyance and palm readers and fortune tellers. They tap into spirits. These are real spirits, but they're not the Holy Spirit. And it's like we can start feeling like we're slaking our thirst, and it's like drinking salt water. You know, if you're out in the ocean and you're thirsty and you're dying of thirst, you could drink the salt water. And the body will require more water than the water that you drank to get rid of the salt, and you will die. And there's all sorts of salt water out there in the world, you guys, and people are drinking it, and it's like, that's not going to work. That is not going to work. But we can be fearless about this. We can be confident about this because it really is good news. And someone saw someone with a trowel fixing a wall and repairing it and putting it all together and saying, get ready and prepare the way of the Lord in your heart. Somebody else saw the living water coming as an internal thing, cleansing us from the inside out, cleansing us of everything, all the impurities and all the stuff that is not of God, all the stuff that is wrong, all the stuff that we've you know, gravitated to, or and not through, you know, like any kind of intent, like we chased after something and, you know, we're abandoning God to chase after that, although sometimes that does happen. But a lot of times it's just like, no, I'm just thirsty. I'm just thirsty. I'm looking for what works. And it's like, well, let me help you with that. Let me help you with that. Let me tell you what that might be, right? Let me tell you about my friend Jesus and how he took care of my thirst. And I'm just saying, right? I'm just saying, I was thirsty. I was thirsty. And when I took a drink of the water of a relationship with Jesus, that was the real deal. I'm just saying, why don't you try that? It worked for me. And 50 years later, it still works. We continue to, in our men's group, we looked at, this was cool. There was a guy in our men's group who was really struggling, and he was just plain flat out honest about it. He just said, this is where I'm at, and this is what I'm struggling with, and I need some brothers. And we gathered around him. We started praying for him.
But before we did that, the Lord had dropped into Dean. I keep calling you Sarge because, you know, this is the guy, you know, right? And so they're brothers, you know, okay. So Dean had, the Lord had given him this scripture text, and it was from Ecclesiastes, and it was a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. You know, if we're by ourselves, can we keep warm at night? No. You know, we need, basically the whole text is about we need each other. And he gave that word to the men's group right after we had gathered around this guy to, you know, to just, you know, minister to him and pray into him and set him up with two other guys. You know, they all exchanged their texting numbers, you know, their phone numbers and all that stuff and emails or whatever. And so that they could carry this forth, you know, in a three-stranded cord, which is really a four-stranded cord because Jesus gets in there, right? And it was like, it was beautiful. It was like, so again, it was the unity. And we kept, the theme of unity is playing in all this, you guys. So no matter what we're talking about, there's this theme of unity. Melissa had that, and this three-stranded cord and these guys coming around this guy. And we believe in victory for this man, and I just think it's going to be powerful. And it was great. So hey, there any guys out there? You guys got Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock every other Saturday. It's a powerful place to be. And I know, you know, there's lots of reasons why we've got other things that, you know, call on us, but I just wanted to throw that out there. because God's really doing a good work in those guys. And so the theme of unity, which again, part of our days of dedication, we have to keep remembering this, is a call from God to be in unity with the body of Christ, the larger body of Christ, that we're not an island. We're not doing this by ourselves. We are doing this together with other churches in order to show the world that Jesus is our King. Jesus is the Lord of the church. We're not individual little kingdoms. There's only one King, and we all come under Him, and this is our duty station, right? So we want to get this one right. We want to get this one right. We want our piece of the puzzle not to be the weakest link. We want to be able to say, yes, Lord, we heard you, and we're doing what you're asking us to do, and it's joyous, and it's amazing, and we have good news, and it's living water, and we do it together, and we're doing it in unity. And then last night, we had Ezekiel 37, can these bones live? Can these bones live? My bones, yours, ours, the church of Jesus in the community and in the face of the earth. Can God breathe on these bones and make them come alive with power and raise up an army? Come on, someone say yes, Melinda. Thank you. Yeah. And it was like, well, and Ezekiel was like, I don't know, Lord, what do you think? the Lord said, prophesy to the bones. Tell them. Tell them that they're going to live. Right? And Ezekiel's like, oh, you know, right? I mean, what an awkward place. Okay, I'm not sure they can, but you're asking me to declare it. So I'm declaring and we're declaring these bones are going to live. These bones are going to live, and there's going to be an army, and it's an army on the face of the earth, unlike anything we've ever seen before. Prophesy it, and walk in it. So that's what an awakening for the church to wake up, because night is nearly over, and you need to wake up, O sleeper. Jesus addresses this in Revelation. And he speaks about it in terms of blindness in the church, that we think because we have so much stuff, and I really relate to this as an American church, you know, like we think because we have so much stuff and we build so many buildings and we do all these things that we're somehow that equates to spiritually strong. But in the book of Revelation, he's saying that isn't what's happening. You actually need to cash in, you know, some of your stuff so that you can become spiritually rich because you're spiritually poor. And there's a spiritual poverty in the American church because we have so much that we don't have. It's like those Chinese pastors who came over here. They're from the underground church. And they were taken to all the different, like, mega churches. And they got together and they said it's amazing what the American church has been able to do without God. I know, and they were weeping. Because what they saw was a lot of stuff happening, but they didn't feel him. They didn't feel his presence. They didn't feel the water that slakes our thirst. And it was like, wow, okay. That doesn't mean that you can't do it that way, but somehow, at some point, the church has to wake up and say, this is really all about God, not human effort, not human ability, not human ability to speak well, not human ability to worship well, not human ability to build well. It has got to come somewhere in this. It's got to be a testimony to the world that people are doing what people can't do. Okay? We have to be able to do what people can't do. Then it's when people say, Then there's a God moving there. There's something happening there. And that's a call to us. That's a call to us as Bradley Epworth. We're not a mega church, but we're always, every church, the little tiniest little church the little brown church in the valley, whatever it is, it's like we've all got the challenge of saying, are we doing what we're doing out of human effort, or are we doing what we're doing because God is in the midst and God is doing things that we can't do, right? And so there's a wake-up call for all of us to make sure that we're doing this out of God and his anointing and his presence. And this was a beautiful thing that I think is so applicable to Bradley Epworth. Becky Johnson was listening, and I said something about scattering seeds, I guess, and her little 7-year-old adopted boy, Will, where's he from? Do you remember what country? China. And he looked at her and he said, what seeds, Mom? what seeds is he talking about? And she said, I just really felt the Lord say, you, Will, you're one of the seeds. And all the little children that are up here and in our children's ministry right now, little seeds that we have a garden full of, and that we can't hold back from getting in the garden and getting dirt under our fingernails and insect bites and a few thorns in order to keep stewarding, blessing, and raising up this beautiful garden that God has planted amongst us. I thought, wow, that's right. That was like, yes, okay. We'll take that dot and connect it with all the other dots, right? There'll be work. If we're going to have this garden of the Lord, it's going to take work. And someone heard the Lord saying, return, return, from Joel 2. Even now, right now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart. And I think that's something that that I want us to meet together with here today. I'll give my little, anyway. So, all of our heart. An instant invitation from these last 24 hours for all of us at Bradley Epworth, all you guys at home, anybody, I know Carol Reed's going to be watching this later today, so hi, Carol, because she's doing children's ministry, so she said, I'll be watching it later, so Carol, hi. And all of us, return, return with all your heart. I hear an invitation in that. I hear a call in that. Not a condemnation, not a thing like God saying, you guys are half-hearted. I don't hear that. I just hear God saying, for all that is good of me in your life, there's more. For all that you've experienced of God in your faithfulness to God, there's more. Every one of you in this room, okay? There's more. There's more, Raj. There's more, Michael. Of all you've experienced of God in all your years, brother, and there's a lot of wisdom, a lot of experience, a lot of blessing. You drank a lot of water. There's more. And I don't think that there's anyone here that God is not inviting into that, okay? I think that every one of us Regardless of our life or where we're at or how busy we are or how bad our, you know, situations may be. Caleb, John, there's more. Randy, Mary, you've seen a lot. There's more. And he wants to know, are you thirsty? Because slaking the thirst starts here in this church. Right? So Holy Spirit, let this be you now, your invitation, coming out of this 24-hour period of pursuing you and praying to you, which people did at home, and we have no idea how many people were praying at home, praying during this time. But there's a call to return with your whole heart. And I, Lord, want to be the first to say, yes, yes, yes. I want more of you. And I acknowledge that you want more of me. And there's more of me to give. And there's more of you to have. And I pray that when I stand here in 2025, I'll be able to say, and I got it. I experienced things of God over the last year that were beautiful, wonderful, powerful, and amazing. So let's use communion today as a way of responding in our hearts to that call for return and for more, because it's in the broken body and the shed blood that a gateway has been opened, a door has been opened to us to go into the Holy of Holies, to know that we've been forgiven, to know that God has died for us, to know that his promises are true. He holds fast and he fulfills his covenant agreements and promises. And you hold in your hand his statement that this is what I'll give. I'll give my body broken. Here's what I'll put into this. I'll have my blood shed to cleanse you from your sin. Now, what are you giving? What are you entering in with? Well, Lord, I certainly can't match you. No one can. But I can die to myself and say, Jesus, what do you want? Take me. Let me be given to you. Let me make room for you in my heart, in my life. And come back and embrace you in the year ahead with my whole heart. So Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks for the bread. He broke it and he said, this is my body. This is the new covenant, dear friends. This is the covenant. This is my body broken for you. Take and eat of this, all of you. When he took the cup, he gave thanks. He gave the cup to his disciples. And that's us, extended 2,000 years into the future. Here we sit around this table with Jesus, and he's looking at you. It's kind of weird, but he's looking right at you, and he's saying, thank you, Lord, for this cup. For this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for Tom, Melissa, Sarge, Cindy Ann, Dean, Ashley, and every person sitting in that room, all of us. He's looking at us and saying, this is what I give. If you drink the cup, you're entering into a relationship with me of trust, confidence, boldness, and ministry to the world that's desperate to drink the living water. So take this cup and drink from it, all of you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm in, Lord. I'm in. I want you to just, if you can do that, just tell him, say, I'm in, Lord. I'm in. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. Thank you, Jesus.